Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura Adams. I'm a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin, Department of Soil Science, working with Dr. Francisco Arriaga. Our research focuses on trying to reduce runoff and phosphorus loss by using cover crops and no tillage. In Wisconsin, we have a large dairy industry with almost 10,000 farms and over 1 million cows, and it contributes to about half of the total agricultural economics of the state. And of course, with this large amount of cows, we have a lot of manure to deal with, and a lot of this can run off and contaminates fresh water and causes eutrophic conditions. And in these systems, phosphorus is often the most limiting nutrient. And of course, with this large amount of cows, we have to produce a lot of corn silage and alfalfa feed. And under these systems, it increases susceptibility of erosion and often decreases productivity. So using no-till and cover crops can try and reduce these erosion and runoff impacts and improve productivity. The objectives of my research look at using cereal rye as a cover crop to try and, again, reduce the sediment and phosphorus losses and to link soil health and water quality. So methods, here's our field setup. We have 6 plots, 3 corn silage and 3 alfalfa. And these plots were established in 2013 and are on a 3-year crop rotation. So in spring of 2017, they're actually going to flip-flop. And in these 6 plots, there are 6 treatments, 3 using no tillage and 3 using a spring tillage that we are calling conventional till. And under these 6 treatments, one of the treatments does not use any cover crop. One uses the cereal rye with the biomass left on, and then one uses the cereal rye with the biomass harvested. An interesting aspect of these plots are they're quite large. Each treatment is 0.2 hectares, or about half an acre each, and they're on a plano silt loam. We used a rainfall simulator on each of these treatments. So we used a rainfall simulator with an oscillating nozzle about 10 feet from the ground, and we used them on the plots in the first week of June, so corn was about a V3 stage. We chose to use a rate of 7.6 centimeters per hour, which is around a 50-year storm. And we used deionized water to better approximate rainwater chemistry. So we used each simulation lasted 60 minutes, and then we took a mixed sample to analyze for sediment loss and different phosphorus losses. So total phosphorus and total dissolved phosphorus we used a persulfate digestion, and dissolved reactive phosphorus we filtered using a 0.45 micron filter, and then they were analyzed colorimetrically. And then with that, we could calculate particulate phosphorus. Some results from these simulations. We have on the y-axis the cumulative runoff in the terms of millimeters of depth over a 60 minute of the simulation. And we can see, both conventional tills and the no-till with no cover crop were around the same and had a pretty fast runoff, rate. And we see below the no-till with cover crop and the alfalfa had a longer time to run off and then had a slower rate. Another way to look at this would be a total runoff. Again, both conventional tills with or without cover crops and the no-till with no cover crop had very similar total runoff amounts, with no-till and cover crop and alfalfa having significantly less. In terms of sediment loss, see a little bit more variation. No-till with cover crop having a little bit less and alfalfa having the least sediment loss in terms of tons per hectare. Looking at phosphorus, This shows the total phosphorus, and the error bars also refer to the total phosphorus. And then we broke it up into particulate P and total dissolved P. And in these cases, there was no significant difference in terms of phosphorus load in kilograms per hectare. And in terms of dissolved reactive P, did see a couple differences. Alfalfa having the least dissolved reactive P losses, with the rest scattered. And lastly, as Bray P, so plant available P, alfalfa again had the least Bray P from 0 to 15 centimeter depth, and we attributed this to alfalfa not receiving manure in the fall. We then repeated these simulations in October, so just a week and a half ago, and we did them right after harvest and manure injection, and cover crops were planted about 2 weeks prior, so they were about 15 centimeters tall, and we kept the rest of the methods completely the same as in June. Here we see quite a difference in cumulative runoff. Again, runoff shown in depth of millimeters. And we see quite a variation, and everything was statistically insignificant, but on average it was interesting to see this top line, the green, as the no-till with cover crop, where in June we saw that was actually way down here with alfalfa being the least. So that was very interesting to see. In terms of total runoff, again, both conventional tills and the no-till with no cover crop stayed pretty similar to as in June, and no-till with cover crop and alfalfa increased quite a bit in their total runoff. And in terms of sediment loss, interestingly, the conventional till with no cover crop had significantly less sediment loss in October, and alfalfa we found to have much more sediment loss. Lastly, I want to share yields. So we have the data from 2014 and 2015 showing the corn silage, and in both years we did not find a significant difference in yields. An important factor to consider when comparing June to October, there was quite a difference in antecedent soil moisture. So the conditions in October were much wetter, we found. In each rep, so 100, 200, 300 plots, three reps each, we found the days that we did the second and third rep were very, very wet. But we found that, though, that we kind of we figured that was a great snapshot of how a typical fall is in Wisconsin compared to how it is in June, and we did find that statistically there was a difference in the gravimetric water content between the 2 months. However, and importantly, there was no difference found between treatments within a simulation date. So the dates that we conducted these rainfall simulations, the whole reps, at least they had the same antecedent soil moisture. So to sum everything up, in June we found again the no-till with cover crop and alfalfa treatments produced less runoff and less sediment loss compared to the other treatments. However, we did not see a difference in total phosphorus, although alfalfa did have lower DRP losses compared to conventional with no cover crop and no-till with no cover crop. In October, we did not see any differences between treatments pertaining to their total runoff. However, no-till with cover crop and alfalfa produced significantly more runoff than they did in June. And we found an increased sediment loss in October in alfalfa, but a decrease in sediment loss in conventional till with no cover crop. So overall, our data suggests that silage production systems with reduced soil disturbance in combination with cover crops has the potential to decrease runoff and sediment loss, looking at the system as a whole. And in the future, we're going to link other soil health characteristics and from treatment to treatment to better support our findings. With that, I'd like to thank you guys and answer any questions. So the question was how we managed our cover crops. So in the spring, we actually had two different treatments. So a cover crop that we killed off in the spring, and then a treatment where we harvested. So in this, I only presented, and we actually only did the rainfall simulations on the treatments that were left and killed off on the field. We did not look at the harvested cover crops. And I think they were killed off and harvested in April. Does that make sense? Around April, before?
Our cover crop is killed how long before you planted the corn?
About 2 weeks. Yes.
Have you thought about doing rainfall simulations prior to removing the
marsh? That's our next step. So we were out there this fall, and we said, wow, do you really need to do this again in the spring? So we'll see if I'll be out there again and do it, because it would be really, it's really neat to see different parts of the crop cycle throughout the year, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Can you talk more about how you measured the runoff?
Sure. So the question was how we measured our runoff. So with this simulator, there was a lot of moving parts, and there was, actually I'll go back because it's kind of neat to see, I didn't explain, I guess. You see down here, so we used 1 meter by 1 meter frames that we pounded in, and then collected from that area, there was a vacuum tube, or I guess a vacuum wand that sucked all of the runoff as it was coming off into a big catchment, and then from that we could measure throughout, and then with some calculations how for that area, and then we took a mixed sample from there.
I wanted to follow up a little bit on that residue question, because my thought was there residue still left, or how long did the residue stay? So what I sometimes observe is if we harvest a cover crop, there might, that residue often, that stubble is often still there even after corn silage harvest. But if we burn down a cover crop and it is perhaps 18 inches tall or something, that might be completely gone already.
Sure.
On the other hand, if it is taller, it might still be there. So just curious to know how that was.
Yep. Yeah. Here actually are kind of pictures right before we did each simulation on each plot, and here where the cover crop, you can see there's still a little bit of residue cover, and we did see a correlation with plots that had more residue cover did have less runoff or less time to runoff at least. Thank you.